Every day, Bill Frank...
We're going to be doing one thing and one thing only.
...talks with the best guests in America about business.
You mean business?
Monkey business?
Are you ready to get down to business?
All right! Everybody's here and that means we can get down to business.
Entertainment.
Entertainment.
The entertainment capital of the world.
What kind of entertainment?
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Sports.
Game on.
A grueling test of strength, speed, and stamina.
Wow, just like in the pros.
And the local community.
The rage in local radio.
Find out what's going on locally.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time now for the Bill Frank Radio Show on News Talk 1520 KVTA. Now, here's your host.
Bill Frank.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 3 o'clock here on KVTA, or you can hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. The Bill Frank Radio Show is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 289-1520, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-289-1520. And today's show is an eclectic mix of regional, local, and national stars as well. Start out with the first story. Do you remember Sharon Tate? It was a big story back in 1969, a beautiful young actress married to director Roman Polanski. She was about to give birth to the couple's first child when she and four other people were murdered in their home by the followers of Charles Manson. My next guest writes about the incident along with her co-author Bree Tate, Sharon Tate's niece. Alisa Statman is a writer and an assistant director in film and television. Her penchant for storytelling, combined with her trusted relationship with the Tate family, makes her a logical person to share with the world the most accurate and honest account of the story ever told. She's the co-editor of Restless Souls, the Sharon Tate's family account of stardom, the Manson murders, and A Crusade of Justice. Joining us from Southern California. Hi, Alisa. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for being our guest here on the show. And I guess the first place to start is you really got an inside look at the workings of the Tate family and the whole progression of stardom through the murders of poor Sharon Tate. And the book has in it an extensive collection of letters, recordings, unpublished memoirs, etc. on the subject. How did you gain this trusted relationship with the Tate family to allow you to write this story?
Sharon's sister, Patty, and I began a relationship back in 1991 that lasted until Patty's death in 2000. And in that time, you know, I lived with not only Patty, but her father, P.J. Tate, as well. And it was through all of them that I was welcomed into the family and became a part of it. And we began this book early back in 93 as Patty's autobiography. And sadly, we didn't finish it before she passed away. And then Bree and I came up with the concept to turn it into a family memoir, you know, through everything that we'd learned. And after Patty passed, we went back, you know, with her father and just revisited a lot of things that he had, you know, a lot to say about.
Oh, I bet. Well, now, you started it in 1993. Why did it come out now? It's nearly 43 years after the murders actually happened.
Well, there's a couple of reasons. One is I'm not a full-time writer. I'm an assistant director, so I was only able to write on weekends or when we're on hiatus. So it was a long process to even begin writing it. And the reason it's out now, for me, at least from my perspective, is that following Sharon's murder, the Tate family really picked themselves up by the bootstraps to become a positive force, beginning with Sharon's father PJ's help in the apprehension of the Manson family to Sharon's mother, Doris, and sister Patty's fight to keep the Manson family behind bars. And because Sharon's case was so famous, Doris Tate saw very early on that she could use it as a platform not only to be Sharon's voice, but to be the voice of all the unheard victims. And I wanted to carry that voice and that positive force into another generation. I think that people remember the crimes, they remember the circumstances, they certainly remember the Manson family. But I think what's been overlooked here in the years following are the victims, and they've been overshadowed quite a bit by the crimes and the killers themselves. And I just wanted this to be a reminder of the loss of life that happened that night and the horrible brutality that was inflicted on these victims.
Well, and in a very noble cause. I want to come back and talk about Mother Doris and Father PJ in just a moment, but I want to focus in on the subtitle of your book. The book is titled Restless Souls, The Sharon Tate Family's Account of Stardom, the Manson Murders, and A Crusade for Justice. What justice are you seeking with this book?
The book itself is not seeking justice. It's about the Tate family's justice that they sought throughout their entire lives after Sharon was murdered. The book is told, you know, Restless Souls is told through the perspective of four of the Tate family members, Sharon's father, PJ, her mother Doris, her sister Patty, and of course Bree, her niece. And it's their journey of post-drama of what happens to a family and once a loved one is murdered, and their journey to find justice and ultimately peace.
My guest is Elisa Statman. So, Elisa, I ask you the big question. Has justice been served in this case?
From the perspective of Sharon's mother, Doris, and Sister Patty, and certainly her father, PJ, I don't believe that justice in many ways has been served. You know, the Tate family had to survive years and years and hours of parole hearings, hearing about how well Sharon's killers have been doing in prison. They've started businesses. They've written books. They've gotten married. They've had conjugal visits. And from those conjugal visits, Charles Tex Watson, one of the killers, has had four children. When you think back to what they did to Sharon, stabbing a pregnant woman 16 times, and then enjoying the very right that they took away from her, justice has been frustrated here. They've gotten away with murder, so to speak. On the other hand, they did feel that there was justice that was served by the fact that they have never been released from prison. And ultimately, Susan Atkins, who fought very hard for compassionate release, was denied that, and she died in prison as she should have.
All right. Well, let's just run down. Yes, Susan Atkins died in jail. Tex Watson, as you say, isn't even eligible for parole until 2016. Patty Krenwinkel is now the longest incarcerated female inmate in the California penal system. Linda Kabassian turned state's witness, so that was its own set of issues there. And Leslie Van Houten's parole was denied back in 2010, and I don't think she'll be eligible for parole for at least another 5 years on top of that. So some would say they're in jail, they're serving their time, they're rotting where they need to be. Justice has been served. I want to come back, though, and focus on the victims' rights, because I think out of every horrific thing that happened in the Sharon Tate and LaBianca murders, it's funny how good things can come of it. And Sharon's mom, Doris, reluctantly became this advocate for victims' rights, which I thought was good. And because of the work that Doris did, we now have victims' impact statements in both trials and parole hearings. So how difficult was it for Doris to take on the lead role of victims' right activist? And then secondly, how difficult was it for her to influence the judicial system to even hear victims' rights in the accounts of for sentencing?
Well, you know, as you said, Doris Tate became a major force in victims' rights, beginning with the grassroots of the Victims' Bill of Rights in 1982. When they got that passed, they changed the game. Victims were now part of the process from the trials to the sentencing to the subsequent parole hearings. She wasn't even willing to admit that Sharon was dead for 3 years. It took her 13 years to really come to terms with the fact that she was never going to see her daughter. And what happened was Leslie Van Houten, back in 1982, ordered her release. And the prosecutor, who's been taking care of the cases for many, many years, Stephen Kay, went to her and said, you know, you told me if I ever needed your help to come see you, and I need your help. I need you to start your own petition drive. And she was very, very reluctant to do this, especially because it was Leslie Van Houten who was not convicted of Sharon's murder. Nevertheless, she also realized that if Leslie Van Houten was released, then the rest of Sharon's killers would also follow suit. And so she put her fears aside, and they were big fears, and she set about to do a petition drive. And through that petition drive, she received over 350,000 signatures. Now, those petitions were turned in, beginning with Leslie Van Houten's and into Charles Watson's 1983 parole hearing. But at that point, Doris still wasn't strong enough to sit in the room with these people. And it wasn't until 1985 that she actually got the courage to sit in the room with these people. And I think it was the most difficult thing she's ever experienced, especially that first hearing. And it's interesting if you watch her first interviews and watch her last interview, the strength that she gained and the empowerment that it gave her to be able to speak her voice and to be the voice for Sharon. Her 1990 parole hearing, her last one against Charles Tex Watson, she broke all the rules and started addressing Watson himself, and it's probably the most powerful impact statement in the history of California. And as for the rest of it, you know, it was not hard for Doris Tate to get politicians' attention, because she became such a major force, and she wasn't about to take no for an answer from anybody. And these politicians listened to her because she was a smart and bold woman who knew what she was talking to, and ultimately even President Bush honored her as one of his points of light.
My guest is Elisa Statman. We're talking about her book, Restless Souls. Elisa, we've got a break for traffic right now. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the father, P.J. Tate, when we return.
And now,
great to be back.
Back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
Awesome.
And your host, Bill Frank.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to News Talk 1520 KVTA. My guest is Elisa Statman, author of the book Restless Souls, and we are reliving one of the most horrific murders of 1969, or really of any time, and that was the Sharon Tate murder that happened back in that year by members or followers of the Charles Manson family. And Elisa, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book Restless Souls?
I would hope that they would get to know Sharon Tate as more than a Manson family victim. I would also hope that they have a better understanding of who the Tate family was and the positive force that they brought to all of us. And to know that their situation is not an isolated incident. It is the universal cry of all crime victims. And also, in a society in which we so easily implement the blame game for our negative actions, I think that the Tate family has proven, even under the most adverse circumstances, there can be a positive outcome.
Oh, that is a great message. My guest has been Elisa Statman. The book, Restless Souls, The Sharon Tate Family's Account of Stardom, The Manson Murders, and The Crusade of Justice. Elisa, if you've piqued the interest of listeners, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
We have elisastatman.com, which is the Restless Souls page book. We also are on Twitter, and we have a fan page on Facebook as well.
Oh, Elisa, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my guest here on the Bill Frank Radio Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very, very much. Take care.
Thank you.